I'm WAER's Katie Zolkowski, and you're listening to Her Hilltop High, a series that's taking a look at Syracuse University's history ahead of the school's 150th anniversary in 2020. And we're going to begin, well, at the beginning, in 1870. The Methodist Convention held in Syracuse passed a resolution to establish a university in the city. They raised $500,000 for the endowment, and the city of Syracuse gave $100,000. The Board of Trustees, headed by Reverend Jesse T. Peck, signed the charter on March 24, 1870. Their first class was 41 students, including 7 women. Reverend Peck said upon the university's founding, "The conditions of admission shall be equal to all persons. There shall be no invidious discrimination here against women. Brains and heart shall have a fair chance." The Hall of Languages, which was the first building on campus, was just its cornerstones in August of 1871, right before the first school season. But the Board of Trustees opened the College of Liberal Arts that September. So until the building was finished in 1873, the upper floors of the Myers Block in downtown Syracuse was rented as a temporary campus. During the university's first few years, Syracuse's first college newspaper, the University Herald, is published. The College of Fine Arts, now the College of Visual and Performing Arts, becomes the first fine arts school in the country, and Syracuse held its first commencement in 1872. Mary L. Huntley was the first and only female graduate that year. Women continued to make their mark on Syracuse University before the turn of the century. Sarah Logan graduated from Syracuse University's School of Medicine in 1876. She was the first woman to graduate from the program. She also was one of the first Black women to become a doctor in the United States. Logan went on to practice pediatrics and mentored Black midwives in Syracuse. Oh, and one more first. She was the first woman to be authorized as a doctor in the Dominican Republic, where she offered free treatment to the poor. Syracuse University wasn't always the beloved orange that it is today. In fact, the Board of Trustees originally established the school colors as pink and pea green.
Real classy. And then a year later, they changed it to azure and rose.
That's Meg Mason. She's a university archivist.
Which is basically pink and blue, mm-hmm. which is just basically what they started saying, pink and blue. And those were our colors for several years. And I think back then, they weren't so gendered, the pink and blue, mm-hmm. but they were considered kind of babyish. Because by 1890, the students were not feeling great about the colors.
In fact, the story goes that it all started at a track meet at Hamilton College, which Syracuse won. But that didn't keep the other teams from making disparaging remarks about SU's pink and blue colors. So on the ride back, they talked about maybe getting something a little less babyish.
So the senior class went to the chancellor, Chancellor Haven, and asked him if they could look into changing the color. And he said yes, and a committee was formed, and which included a faculty member, I don't know who off the top of my head, but there was some book, apparently, where they looked through of all the colors of all the universities and colleges, and apparently no one else had orange as their official color, the singular color orange.
Even once there was a decision from the committee that Syracuse University should become orange, it still took some time, and the senior class was getting increasingly intolerant of their pink and blue.
The Syracusan, which is a student newspaper from 1890, and there is a highlighted paragraph that talks about how students were impatient for the colors to be changed because they were considered babyish mm-hmm. by them.
And so finally,
and it had to be approved by various groups on campus, faculty, Alumni Association, Board of Trustees, those kind of groups. And it was finally approved by the Alumni Association. I believe it was right during commencement week, because back then it was commencement week, and the reunions were at that time. And so at commencement, the color orange just came out in full force because it had been approved and everyone was all pumped about it.
Syracuse football had its first season in 1889, playing one practice game and one official game. They won the practice game, but lost the official one. Their second season brought a bit more success, with 8 wins and 3 losses. This time period, about 20 years after its founding, also brought the construction of the Holden Observatory, and the Krauss chimes rang for the first time before the building was ever completed. The brothers of Delta Kappa Epsilon were originally responsible for ringing the chimes.
Used to be, had to be all men, and then World War II happened and some sorority sisters stepped in.
The Alpha Phi sorority would take over.
And then in the 80s, the Chime Masters took over.
It's much different hearing it than it looks like playing it. Playing it, it's a lot more running around, and it's very, like, physically taxing.
These days, music students and faculty at Syracuse are in charge of the chimes and a secretive society known as the Chime Masters. The bells ring 3 times a day, at 8 a.m., 11:45 a.m., and 6 p.m., and then again on special occasions. All of this well before the turn of the century, bringing us up to just about 1890. Next month, we'll look at the establishment of Syracuse's graduate school, Carnegie Library, and some good old-fashioned freshman torment. Thank you, Meg Mason from the University Archives. This is Her Hilltop High from 88.3 WAER. I'm Katie Zolkowski.